Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and happy Wellness Wednesday. This is Charmaine. Welcome to the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I am super excited to get back on blog because there's just a lot going on. And when I say a lot going on, I feel like it is almost my duty. So to talk about this very passionate topic that I want to address today. And I haven't been on blog in a while, and ever so often I come across something, and I figure, let's just shed a little bit more light on it, although it has been at the forefront, especially lately. And what I want to talk about today on this Work Wellness Wednesday is work-life balance and coping during the pandemic. And I want to touch on four major bullets this morning, and it's important because I feel like with the shift in energy and the shift in our entire world, having to deal with this pandemic, having to deal with loss of loved ones, loss of jobs, interactions within our families have changed. People can't really physically see their loved ones. You can't get that hug. And then, of course, there is work. And most people, or a lot of people, have succumbed to really going through a lot of anxiety and depression during this time. And some people have even lost their jobs. So I feel compassionate. And I share the empathy in everything that is actually happening around us. So let me just jump in today. Again, welcome to the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is your show. This is your show, the Charmaine Show, of course. This is what happens when you go live. This is your host, Charmaine, and really pleased to join you today. But the first thing I want to talk about is adopting a positive outlook and attitude. It's really important that we create a soothing, reducing environment every day. And what that looks like is having a positive outlook. How am I going to view my day today? I'm going to get up thinking about what could go wrong, or am I going to get up thinking and making the things that I want to go right happen? Stress is a very, reducing stress actually, is a very critical piece of what we need to be doing every single day. The stressors are around us. The factors are there. Everything is concurrently and simultaneously happening. And sometimes we don't feel like it is impacting us. Sometimes we don't feel like, oh, I am feeling stressed. And then at the end of the day, you look back and you realize, what did I accomplish today? Your day goes by without you even indulging in it and understanding that. It's important that you create that soothing environment, both mentally, psychologically, but also physically. I find that having a routine to start your day, whenever your day starts, my day starts in the morning. That's just because of how my work schedule, my lifestyle, and my preference goes. And so having that energy flow is very critical. What does your physical space look like? I mean, for some, it's been isolation, quarantine. The pandemic has shifted so much. You're beginning to work from home. Now you've got to create that space at home. And what does that feel like? Also, what space in the environment that you're creating for your loved ones? Because it's not just you. The people that you live with, your spouses, your children, your roommates, that are going through similar stresses, right? So I clearly, number one, not just as a work-life balance expert, but also someone who is very into health, wellness, spirit, mind, and body. And of course, not just because my degree is in psychology, but because I find that ever since I've been a young child, I've been taken in with just the energy flow and how that flows through my body. So feng shui, making your home, creating the flow of energy that it feels good to you every morning. And think about this. What is your morning routine? Do you wake up at 5 or 6 and just lay there for 2-3 hours and scroll social media and, you know, watch the news? What is your routine? And is part of that routine separated out where you have some really down, quiet, meditative time where you set your day? For me, I know it's important that setting my day and setting the expectations for myself starts with those small checklist goals that I want to accomplish during the day. It could be as minute as, not minute to me because I love to eat, so it could be as important as what choices will I make today to nourish the physical temple. So for me, it's more than what am I going to eat today to satisfy a craving or desire. It's become more of, especially when I have those times at home and I create that and I make that, it becomes, what will I choose? What healthy things or what things will I choose to edify my physical being? As small as that, or as big goals as, you know, whether it's engaging in my classroom, whether it is my team at work, whether it is revamping, recalibrating, thinking through short-term life goals, long-term life goals. Personally, for me, I'm in the process of thinking through the next 10 years and literally making retirement plans and going through life feeling like these are the best years of my life. I am in my early 50s, and life expectancy tells me that maybe about 30 years or so, if I am so lucky and blessed. So these are the best years of my life, my golden years. So what are those short-term and long-term expectations? So that was the first bullet point I wanted to bring out, adopting a positive outlook and a positive attitude. The next thing that I feel, and it's not necessarily in order of importance. It's not a 1-2-3-4 checklist, because I believe that life is a circle and it's a cycle, and there is a time and a season. And for me personally, I believe time and season are simultaneously occurring. And so my second point that I want to bring out is to totally engage and indulge in self-care. That's going to be like, I mean, if you were to ask me what's number one, I would say that would be it. You know, it's important to make your home your everything at this point. At this point, it's about how do I create a balance when I am confined to being in this physical space 95% of the time. This physical space, which is your home, becomes your office space. That is your restaurant. That's your spa. That is your movie night. That's your theater. That is everything. So think about the things that you love to enjoy or you used to enjoy when you were able to or felt more comfortable going out to do. I loved going out for, you know, birthday lunches, brunches with my friends. I'm not a night person, but I like, give me a brunch or a lunch or maybe like an early dinner. I enjoy that kind of social interaction. Number one, because it falls right in place with my first love is food. And so, but that works. Or my other first love is the spa. And I love the scent of burning incense. I love candles. I love the sound and flow of water. I love petals in the water when I take a bath, different things like that. Am I going to create that spa experience at home? Or you're working from home full-time or part-time. Have you sectioned out that space in your home where you have your desk, you have everything set up, and it feels good. Probably feels better than your at work workspace, because you get to put your family pictures up, or, you know, you have flowers on your desk and you've got your burning candles there. What's the space that you're working at from home, and what does that look like? But most importantly, what does that feel like? It's important, when I think about indulging in self-care, it's important that boundaries are set. Those are very important. And I will share for myself, a minimum of 4 hours each day is completely dedicated to self-care. I would say more like 12 to 15 hours or 16 out of a 24-hour day. I say that because a good 7 to 8 hours of uninterrupted, peaceful sleep is very important. If you can't get between 6.5 to 8 hours of sleep, maybe you have too much stress. Maybe you have too many things on your mind. Maybe you have you don't have a routine created where you know it's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. This is my bedtime because I have to get up at such and such a time the next day so that I am able to indulge in my morning routine, and that I'm not just laying in bed waiting, hitting this button and just waiting to roll out. And thank God I don't have to be on FaceTime, Zoom for the conference call, you know, things like that. Like, how are you carrying yourself? How are you caring for yourself? So when I say a minimum of 4 hours, it is so easy for me personally. And I say I am up at least 1.5 to 2 hours before anyone else at home, because I enjoy the time between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock, where I get to, you know, whether it's taking my son to school or going for a walk or whatever else it is, but I get to really meditate. I look through my memories on Facebook. I may interact a little bit socially, but I spend at least 1 hour of quiet time, me time, space time, planning time, engaging with praise and thanksgiving, creating that flow that I know is going to carry me through the day. Reason I know that, because it's been my practice and it works all the time. And so that's 2 hours right there. In the evenings, I have to have the same, at least 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock unwind downtime, because during the day, once I get off to work and start engaging between that 9 to 5, I am interrupting my self-care time, right, with doing other things, right? It's called work. But I like to think about priority self-care, and right now I get to dedicate this amount of time for work. So if you're working from home, creating that balance, working from home is going to be as important. When do you start your work day? When do you get your break? I like a 1 hour solid lunch break between 12 and 2 o'clock, anytime in between there, at least 1 hour, where I just relax, I sit, I eat, I'm slow at it, I'm leisurely. It's about the jazz, it's about the ambiance. That's 5 hours already. And it doesn't even account for weekends or other times during the day when you may take a walk, take a break, you know, go down to the yogurt shop, whatever it is for you that gives you those incremental 10 to 15 minutes to breathe, to relax, to de-stress. Let me just say this. Social media and following the blogs and, you know, chasing arguments on Facebook or Twitter or, I don't know, whatever else, is not indulging in self-care, and that's not part of your me time. Those are some of the boundaries that you have to create. So indulging in self-care definitely means also prioritizing, and all the events and activities and the things that you could put into place on a checklist and say, you know, I am going to start to put some of these things into practice. If you take away some of the time that you spend on social media, you'd be surprised how much time you have to dedicate to your own mental health and physical health and well-being. If you take away one of the 10 movies that you may watch during the day, or instead of watching the entire series, watch a quarter of the series and pause and pick up the next day, you'd be amazed how you give your time that 3, 4, 5, even 10 hours. I know I had to do a digital well check. A few months ago, I didn't realize it was on my phone, and I happened upon it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I did spend like 4 hours totally just on Facebook, scrolling this and that. So now I've just committed and dedicated to I'll post something. I'll get off. I'll scroll. I'll spend 5, 10 minutes, or I'll interact in the morning for about 20 to 30 minutes. Because I'm mostly going through my memories, and starting the day saying good morning back to my friends and greeting people, things like that, because that is how we interact. Facebook and the other medium that you use to socialize, it's not a bad thing. But think about what it takes away, the time that you commit to things that you may not need to, or the time that you spend that you could give back to really taking care of yourself. So prioritize your mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And what I want to say on that, because, and I don't even think I'm going to get to the third and the fourth point, but I'll do a follow-up show anyway, because I did want to talk a little bit some more about family and dynamics and things like that. So prioritizing your mental and emotional and spiritual health is really important at this time. I'm going to spend some time on that because I feel like mental health care is number one. Your mind is yours. Your spiritual life is yours. It is your priority. And so your mental health goes, so your spiritual health goes. So your physical health goes, and so your emotional health goes. So if you've got to have that cognitive behavioral therapy, talk therapy. And when I say therapy, yes, a lot of companies, I know my company is completely stressing almost every day. There's something on email first thing about here resources. How is this going? Tons of resources about coping, dealing with things, because people have gotten really depressed, very anxious. Their family dynamics have changed where a spouse or themselves or someone has lost a job, lost loved ones, the expenses. I mean, this is real stuff that we're dealing with. And if we don't understand and recognize that it's more than just when is this going to be over and when am I going to get to fly again? Because even a lot of people that are making a lot of noise about when is travel going to come back, they never even bother to travel. It's not even their thing. It's just I'm jumping on the bandwagon. But this is more important. Your mental health and dealing with and coping with and making sure that at the end of the day, however long this pandemic lasts, that you're going to be well and that you have extended that same thing to your loved ones. I've encouraged my children. I've given them the resources. I've set up the resources for them because it is important to me that these are the people that I love and I have resources available that is absolutely free of charge and or insurance covered. And hey, whatever it is feeling you're going through, talk. I'm here. Let's talk about this. A lot of my time in the evenings and when I take my son to school and when I check in with the boys, it's really just about how are you doing? How am I doing? What are you going to talk about today? That's always what we start with. Hey, what do you want to talk about today? And it's either, well, since you asked, and it gives them an opportunity to be open because this is real. Mental health is very critical. Adults, a lot of times, we take this for granted. I know I'm from Jamaica, and I'm married to a man from Haiti. He's been married for 23 years now, and I have a lot of guy friends who are either married or single, and there's a stigma around an angry black man, and I don't think so much it's the stigma or it is true anger. It is we are not conditioned, especially with men, to talk about anything. We don't have the relationship with guy friends that we feel, you know, we can be open about with or about. It, and sometimes I find it's a little bit easier or different with women or girl having girlfriends. So part of that talk therapy for me is my walking partner, my girlfriends, my BFFs. I talk to every single day. There's a dedicated time at 8:45. I talk to one of my girlfriends. Another one will talk a few times a week. And I definitely have one of my sisters. I have all my sisters available. But there's one that is like clockwork every day on her way to work. And it's like sometimes we'll just text each other, okay, here's the topic we're going to talk about today. And it could be the silliest, most ridiculous thing, but we're talking, we're laughing, and whatever it is that we're thinking, we've gone through, we're going through, there's always that sounding board just to get it out. You're not necessarily, you don't have to be speaking of all the time. It could just be, I want to talk about this. And it doesn't have to be anything big and heavy. It's just, I have someone that I can be my most authentic, raw self with. And for me, you know, I do swear. It slips out sometimes. And most times it is intentional. But it is such a nice conversation when you can just not able to express something and then you can just fill it in with the F word. It's okay. You can do that. So mental health, please, I would say resources that you have available at work for yourself and your loved ones, make the most of it, speak it out, impress it upon them, especially younger kids. So, but like I said, I am going to do a part two to the show about balance and coping during the pandemic, because I want to focus a lot on children and families, which is very dear to my heart. So indulging in self-care, number two, I used to have 4 points. Oh, my God, I am so wordy. But it's a 30-minute show. I did not particularly have any guests on this show today because I just wanted to have a talk, a conversation, and a discussion where I can just bring this up. So it really is a monologue type show. But I intentionally didn't schedule any guests to be a part of today's show. But last thing I want to say on indulging in self-care, and I could go on and on about that, is what do you like? What makes you feel good? And create that. We create our own heaven and recreate our own hell. However much energy it takes to do it, it's the same. So you choose what you want to do. In fact, let me tell you something. From personal experience, it's so much nicer, so much more freeing. It feels amazing when, and there's so much less energy. When you go by the law of least effort and the law of attraction, and you just create the space that feels best to you, because our souls, our bodies, our minds, God made us, and he said, it is good. So everything about us is good. So you continue to feed that goodness and the things that feel good to you. That is your grain. That is your DNA. And it's a lot less effort to go through life with feeling good. So indulging in self-care, what do you like? And please, I know for most of us, we've seen Coming to America 1 and Coming to America 2. And we know, what do you like? Anything you like. It's not a cookie cutter. Life is not a cookie cutter. What I like and what I enjoy, my husband likes and enjoys other things. My children love and enjoy other things. My best friends, my sisters, the people that I'm close to. So what I like is not whatever they like. What I like is what I like. I love cheesecake. My husband does not like cheesecake. But does it mean that he's not going to bring it home? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that, oh, I know you like this. I love fried plantains. It's my really, you know, go-to treat whenever he's making it. And he left out of the country a few days ago. And I think it was his sister that did it, that sent over some pre-flash fried and flattened Haitian style plantains in the freezer. And so all I had to do was to take out a few, most times it was at least a dozen, and finish up the process, which is dip it in warm salted water and get it in the deep fryer, and oh my gosh, deliciousness. But he made sure when I got back from Mexico, it was right there, and it's like whatever I like, but that's my thing. Now, of course, when he comes back, there'll be none. So I'm just saying, I thought you left it for me. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So do what makes you feel good. Do what inspires you. And I am now going to go to the other 2 points until the next show, because I'm going to end with talking about doing what inspires you. What inspires you? Is it nature? Personally, I love being out there in the woods. As a country girl, I'm always curious. I love to gaze and to watch and to think about the intricacies of life and life forms in different ways, but yet figure out how we're all connected. And in that breath and in that same sense, it reminds me how the entire universe is about balance. Everything occurs at the same time. Not necessarily in the same place. And it's all good. It is all good. So making sure that you're fully connected and feel balanced, it's really, and I'm going to just go, your attitude is very key. How do I wake up? What do I want? What do I expect? And what do I like? What do I love to feel like? Because another person cannot give that to you, right? Another person can't give that to you. Another person can't indulge in your own self-care. Another person can't give you a positive attitude. They may be able to inspire you and to motivate you, but it's an ownership. And so when I talk about the first 2 points on creating that work-life balance and coping, I want it to not make it like, here's the organization, here's the structure, do this, do that, do that. Because if we don't start from that place of wholeness and wellness, and in order to get there, you have to create that world for yourself, then it's not going to be balanced. You're going to feel off. So first, find yourself. Tap into that. I'm not saying that anxiety and depression, let me just be clear. Anxiety and depression and feeling all kinds of stuff and going through tons of emotional ups and downs during this time and even before the pandemic are real, real things. They are, listen, I'm so passionate about mental health and spiritual health and well-being that I've even dedicated for myself a Wellness Wednesday. And even when I have to be at work, in my mind, this is my Wellness Wednesday. It's my midpoint of, really reflecting and making sure that I'm in a well space, right? And be able to share that, that joy. So with that being said, recapping work-life balance and coping during the pandemic, indulge in self-care. Definitely, I'm going to talk about next time is staying connected and staying organized. Until next time, this is Charmaine on the Charmaine Show Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for engaging and have a fantastic day and happy Wellness Wednesday to you.